You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
You're listening to Zone Radio 88.5, The Voice of the Valley. That was Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, and I chose that song specifically. It's Red Right Hand, and I chose it because my right-hand man, Jeff, is here with me in the studio this afternoon. Jeff is here with the best of life, love, and fruit salad, and today he's going to be talking about a very unpleasant subject, the anatomy of divorce. Jeff, over to you.
Hello, John. Nice to be with you. At least somebody's not dissing me about my shirt today, because normally the unicorn, you know, gives me a hard time about my shirts and stuff like that. So it's very, you know, it's refreshing having somebody actually looking and smiling at me today, which is very only joking, Richard. It's fine.
Can I just say that that's ironic, Richard throwing shade about somebody's dress sense?
No, we don't go there. We don't go there. All right. Well, I'm glad he's having a good time, and wish him well there as well. All right, we're going to talk about divorce today, and what is divorce? And I'm going to talk a little bit about the five stages and what people go through. And then I'm going to try and warn people about what's coming or what is about to happen if they make that decision. And it really, really is a big decision as well. Okay, so what is divorce? Divorce is a process whereby a marriage is legally terminated and involves the termination of the legal duties and responsibilities that arose out of the marriage. So there's division of property, where there is a joint estate, spousal maintenance, child maintenance, care, and contact rights and obligations pertaining to it. So it sounds all like very pedestrian, but it's actually one of the most emotional things you'll ever go through. It really is an emotional experience. It's deeply challenging. It's mentally very hectic on you, and you don't even realize, you know, you think it's easy. I'm going to divorce now. I've had it. I'm out of here. I'm done enough. I can't anymore. And you don't realize as you go through that divorce door, what's on the other side of that fence, because you can't see the other side once you're this side. And so I just want to open it up a little bit today, and I want to just explain what actually happens. If you haven't been through one, thank goodness, I'm really happy. And if you have been through one, you're going to kind of say, yeah, geez, well, you know, mine was this and mine was that. And, you know, maybe it was easier for you guys or it wasn't. But there are five stages of divorce. There's the shock and denial. There's anger, the anger phase. There's the depression phase. Then the bargaining starts, and then the acceptance after that. And, you know, individuals can gain insight into their emotional journey. You can learn a lot about yourself when you go through one of the most difficult things you'll ever go through in your whole life. So in 1921, there were about 18,000 divorces granted in South Africa. Now, that is hectic. While in 2002, I know it's 4 years ago, but 2002, the number increased by 10.9% to 20,196 divorces in a year. That's 12 months. So it's actually unbelievable. It's increased from 30 divorces per 100,000 to 33 divorces per 100,000 in 2022. So it is a rife thing, John, and it's something that happens, and sometimes you don't know about. So 10 things you should know about divorce. Okay, so before you go into it, if you are going into it now, perhaps, or you're thinking of it, these are some of the things that you should know about it. First of all, don't expect to win your divorce. Nobody wins a divorce. You think you're gonna win it. It's emotional. It's a loss. It's depression. It's loss of finances. Look, it can also be the right thing to do as well. It can be the right thing to do. If you are getting divorced and you're not happy, or you're in an abusive relationship, it can be the right thing to do. But please, nobody wins. Nobody wins a divorce. Don't make important decisions without thinking them through properly. That's also very, very important. And we tend to do that when we're emotionally charged. Number three, you're getting divorced, but your kids aren't. That's one of the major things, is the kids are not getting divorced. So Please know that you need to protect your children as much as you can. Don't believe everything other people tell you about their divorce, because every divorce is different. Every single divorce is actually different. So you can take some kind of advice, but you know, everybody's is different. Forget the past, prepare for the future, and be a big picture person. So in other words, look to the future. But that's a very, very, that's easier said than done. And it's very, very difficult to do, because you're in this whole, it's emotional, it's hard, it's nasty. Could be, hopefully it's not, but generally it does get that way. And you need to be looking for the future. And the last thing you're seeing is the future when you're trying to fight your present. And so it's really important that you don't sweat the small stuff along the way. Make some concessions on minor issues. You know, if you nitpick on every little thing, you're going to get into trouble there, because it's going to be more and more emotional for you. So you have to manage your emotions in that way. Courts is not all that it's cracked up to be. Courts are not a nice place to be, especially when you're getting divorced and, you know, it's money. Lawyers make money out of these things. And unfortunately, with the emotional trauma you're going through, everybody wants to win this thing. And it's just the till just keeps opening up. Ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. And it's not a joke. It's 30 grand here, and it's 20,000 here, and 50,000 here. All of a sudden, you're in a 50,000, 60,000, 100,000, 200,000. And I've known divorces that cost over R1 million as well in my time. So just be careful. There are other alternatives. There's mediation that you can do. If you are adults about it, you can do a mediation process, which will save you a lot of emotion and some time. But you know what? It's always, John, it's always about money. It's always about the money. If there was no money and you both didn't like each other, you'd get divorced, and it cost you probably, I don't know, 20,000 or whatever it is. When there's money involved, you fight and you fight and you fight until there's no money left. And then you could have had R1 million and that's it, you know. So you need to also be honest with your attorney. That's one thing you need to be doing. And I read, you need to be honest with your attorney and your spouse. Spouses are never honest when it comes to divorce, especially the men who are going to hide assets. That's just the human thing. It's just what happens. And if you try not to do that, it'll be less emotional. But obviously, that is what happens. Guys do that. Women do that. Whoever's got the money hides assets. It's the reality, unfortunately. So copies of important documents are very important. Make sure you've got photographs of items, and you know, keep the photographs in a safe, protected place. Have copies of your antenuptial agreements, and get appraisals for insurance inventories, all your assets, your furniture, and that kind of stuff. Despite the strict rules for disclosure, some divorcing spouses will hide or destroy key documents, such as prenuptial agreements and that kind of stuff. And you've got to be very careful about doing that kind of stuff, because if they find out, you're going to be in deep, deep trouble. So, does emotional abuse affect my divorce? Of course it does. While it's normal to feel anxious and angry or distressed during divorce proceedings, there's one thing the law doesn't tolerate, and that's abuse. It's still a criminal offense to be abusive, and it can be sexually violent, or it can be domestic violence in your marriage. And it's critical to take appropriate steps to protect yourself and those you love from harm. It's very important. So emotional abuse can be non-physical, and sometimes it's worse than the physical stuff. And I say that very, very lightly, but emotional stuff can really whack somebody out. So there's control, there's isolation, and people try and intimidate and frighten you as well. And it can lead to a criminal case. So if you are emotional and you're one of those angry people, just chill a little bit, because you can get yourself into a bit of trouble as well. It's often overlooked in intimate partnerships, is this emotional abuse. And abusers have a tendency to gaslight people, gaslight you. Now, what is gaslighting? They're trying to make you think that you're a little bit crazy. You're not actually well. You should go and see a therapist. You're not reading this properly. What's the matter with you? So common signs of emotional abuse in marriage include feeling like you're walking on eggshells around your spouse, feeling like you have no control of your decisions and your activities. Your spouse isolates you from friends and family. Abusive partners do that. Your spouse threatens you in some way, physically maybe, or just emotionally, or shouting. You feel trapped due to limited access to basic resources such as a cell phone or a car or the internet or something like that, or even something small like a television set. They block that. Your partner frequently loses their temper. Spouse raises their voice at you. Tension always escalates into a full-blown fight. That is a sign of emotional abuse. You find yourself missing activities or canceling plans at the last minute because you end up having a fight every time, and it spills over into your time before you get anywhere, and it's a regular occurrence. Your partner gaslights you, as I said. You know, the questions are asked here. Does your spouse accuse you of overreacting or misremembering events? What else? Do they excuse harmful acts as a joke? So, I was only joking. I didn't mean to push you or whatever. Or do they accuse you of being too sensitive? Ugh, you're too sensitive. Or you're crazy feeling like that. It's not meant to be like that. And it is. This is all part of emotional abuse. And how can that affect the marriage? Well, it certainly does. It certainly can give somebody post-traumatic stress disorder, a depression, panic attacks, chronic stress and physical pain. You know, I mean, physical pain is your backache or you start losing your voice for some reason or other because you're so stressed and emotionally charged. Paranoia and anxiety. And an inability to trust yourself again, with yourself and with others, or that person, actually. Losing the support of friends and loved ones, or even the perception of losing the support of friends. And sometimes what happens in families when you're going through a divorce, the family doesn't know how to handle this, so they just back off. They don't want to get, or we don't want to get involved in their personal stuff, and they don't come and support you, and you think they're abandoning you. Meanwhile, they just don't know how to handle it. And the same with the kids, actually, as well. So how do we cope with separation and divorce? How do we do this? Well, recognize it's okay to have different feelings. It's fine. It's normal to feel sad. It's normal to feel angry, exhausted, frustrated, and confused. These things are normal, and you need to manage yourself. Give yourself a bit of a break. Don't go through this alone. Have somebody you can talk to. Take care of yourself emotionally and physically. You know, physically. Get to a gym. Try and avoid alcohol and drugs and cigarettes. And if you're going to make those things help you cope, try and stay away from that because they can lead to more problems. Take time to exercise, eat well and relax. And we've said this on the show before, sleep, you know, sleep. Get some good sleep if you can. And I know it's difficult when you're going through this very, very hectic time. Avoid power struggles and arguments with your spouse or former spouse. Take time to explore interests, get your mind off it, think positively, and life will get back to normal. You have to believe that life will get back to normal. And if there are kids involved, and this is where the nasty stuff comes in because you don't want to hurt your kids. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But tips for talking to the kids, reassure them, listen to how they're feeling, maintain stability and routines. Offer consistent discipline. I think that's important. And when you are a mom alone or a dad alone, sometimes you feel guilty. So you don't put in those disciplines that you would normally put in because, oh, they're going through a hard time. I can't be too hectic with them. But they need that. They need that for their boundaries and to feel safe. So let your kids know they can rely on you, both of you. We love you. It's not your fault. Kids sometimes think it's their fault. And don't involve your kids in the conflict. It's very important not to. And please don't use the children as a weapon against the other parent. That is another terrible thing to do to another human being. Another human being are your children. You know, I know you want to use it as a weapon because it may be the only thing you've got. You don't have monetary weapons and you're going to use the children. please don't do that. It's very painful for them. You might think you're doing something good, but it's for them. It's a terrible thing. And you know, John, a lot of parents poison their children against the other spouse, and it's nasty. So, you know, there's several stages that we go through, but it can take as long as 2 years to get over a divorce. So just be very careful of how you go into next relationships as well. And sort of 12 money mistakes we make. Now, everything is revolving around money. Because when you get divorced, you feel vulnerable. Perhaps you're the wife, you've been home, you've been looking after kids, you haven't been in the workforce, and now all of this stuff's coming up and you're going to be vulnerable financially. So I've got 12 things here to avoid, especially when getting divorced over the age of 50. So just be very careful of financial fallout. Be careful of losing your financial gripping. And after 50, it's very difficult to get your financial life on track again if you do that. And these divorces can cause you a lot of money. It's paying for stuff you wouldn't have thought you were going to pay for. And as I said, it can be up to R1-2 million for a divorce. These things are not cheap. A divorce over 50 can be absolutely financially devastating. So just be very, very careful of that. And don't just do the inventory of your assets. Know exactly where you are. Know what your debts are. Holding onto the house, it might be all very well that you get a house, but you've got the taxes to pay, the upkeep and the emergency repairs and the bond payments and all that kind of stuff. So just be very careful what you ask for, because you might have that, and be careful. Know exactly what you owe, so that when you are negotiating your deal, that you know that you've got so much debt and that needs to be sorted out. Don't ignore tax consequences, and don't forget about medical aid. Medical aids have become incredibly expensive. Your top medical aids nowadays for a single person can be 8,000 to 10,000 rand a month, just for one single person on your top plans. You can always negotiate down a lower plan, but just put it into what you are asking for, and don't forget that medical aid is very important, especially later on in life as well. Just know that as well that you are entitled to the spouse's pension fund, half of it anyway, not to the whole one, half the pension fund nowadays. Law has changed slightly there. You might be supporting your parents. What happens then? You get divorced and maybe your spouse has been supporting your mother's medical aid or your mother's place where she's staying or whatever, and all of a sudden that can go in a second. Because now he's going to use that as a weapon against you, possibly. Hiding your assets, be careful of hiding assets, going to get you into trouble with fraud. Don't underestimate your expenses. Just always add 30 to 40% on to a budget, just in case. And when you are negotiating, go a little bit higher so you can come down a bit lower as well. Don't think your divorce advisors are your friends as well. Your lawyers are your lawyers, and they will take you through the processes. They will understand the processes, but they're not your mates. You know, they're not your friends. They're there to do a job of work. They can support you, but they're in it to get you through it without too much damage to you, and that's what they're there for. They're not your buddies as well. So just understand that. Have a good team around you as well. Very important as well. Does your life insurance, are you a beneficiary of your spouse's life insurance, or has he got life insurance on you? And if he's the owner of the policy, you're not going to get your life off there because you can't do it. He's the owner and he controls that policy. So just be careful. Part of your team should be a financial advisor that knows exactly what to do, and it should be your financial advisor as well. So another law that's just come in, John, are you obviously aware of it? 10th of October 2023, it was said now that people that are married out of community property without accrual, also if you've been home and you've been a wife and you've been looking after kids for maybe 20, 30, 10, up to 30, 40 years, and all of a sudden you get divorced, but you're married out of community property and you don't have an accrual system. In the old days, you were gone. So nowadays you have access to 50% of the total asset of that family as well. And that new law has just come in now.
I think that's a great law.
It's a great law. And it just saves a lot of people. And I think it's fair. You know, I was sitting at a round table once with someone having a divorce, and they were arguing, and the advocate was there, and the advocate got really upset because these people were shouting at each other across the round table. And he looked at me, and I kind of looked at him, and he looked at the people, and he said, "Listen, guys, just hang on. What is wrong with being fair?" He said, "Jeff, we're going to go out now and let them talk it through." And so I walked out with him. We came back, and it kind of hit home to them. You know, just be fair. But when you emotionally charge and you're angry and you have all this emotion, you want to annihilate.
You've got a point to prove.
Got a point to prove. So that's it, John. I mean, that's pretty much sort of a roundup of what it is. And I know some of you maybe are thinking about it. Just know that you don't know what you don't know. And you don't know what's on the other side of that emotional decision. And that decision will take you down a road that you would have never expected. People will turn on you. The people that you didn't think would help you will help you. The financial aspect of this whole thing is a nightmare. And it's nasty because you might have been with somebody that you've loved for 30 years or whatever it is.
There was a reason you married them in the first place, right?
Absolutely. And when you do get divorced, the practicality is the guys think, "Oh, okay, fine." And they go off and they have a party and they're out with the mates and they go to the bar and the women are at home crying and they're distraught over this emotional breakup. Guys are having a jol and they're going out and doing bravado. And what happens is it turns around. So after about maybe a year or two, the girls start getting stronger and they start getting their emotional back and they start building their lives. And the guys start crashing and say, "What have I done? I've missed my partner. I'm alone.
Yeah.
The dating site is not fun anymore. There are crazy people out there. I'm not meeting the right people. I want my wife back," you know, and that kind of stuff. So it changes the perspective there. So just be careful, guys and girls. Make it work. Try and make it work. And if it really can't work, just sit down together, make a decision, love your children, try and be fair. And remember, it's going to cost you a fortune if you're going to fight.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
So, I don't want to make light of it, but how do you retire with a small pension? How do you retire with a small fortune, Jeff?
With a small fortune?
Yeah,
it's very small. You don't.
You start with a big one, and then you meet an ex-girlfriend on Facebook.
Oh, God. Jeez. Oh, my goodness. That is sometimes, and that's the reality, too.
It is. It's a very common story, isn't it?
But it's a common story, and
We've got a message from Jan here. Yes. She says, "I think when there is finally acceptance that the divorce is happening, the sadness is about all the dreams and the hopes you had when you got married, and those are just shattered." She says, "This is just my opinion, but I think there's a lot to be said."
It's shattered. I mean, but sometimes, John, it's a good thing. If there's abuse in the home, if there's ugliness and there's really ugly, you know, sometimes people can't live together. And when it's, as I said, when it's violence and ugliness, you've got to get out of there, get on with your life and leave that person, that toxic person behind. Then divorce is a good thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes we divorce too quickly. We don't try and fix it. We don't try and go and get therapy. And so I would be awry not saying, please try and fix this together. If you love each other, you know, just try and sit down and work on your marriage instead of in your marriage.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
Jeff, you were telling me a very frightening statistic, the percentage of marriages that end in divorce.
Yeah, it's 50%, especially, and that's also in America as well, the statistics in America. It's 50% of all marriages end up in divorce. And I was on a TV program once, and I had a pastor with me there, and he was doing counseling for people getting married before marriage. And he was saying, you know, we spend so much time getting ready for the wedding day and no time preparing for the rest of our life. And that is true. You know, we need to sit down. Now, we did a program the other day on the questions you need to ask your spouse.
Before
you get into a relationship, and we don't, you know, think, oh, she's pretty, she's nice.
Yeah.
This is great. I'm having fun, and we're excellent together. But what happens if we start living together, and what happens if they're untidy and that kind of stuff?
I think, you know, when I got married, the church arranged that kind of thing, and there were a whole bunch of questions that we had to go away, answer ourselves, and then swap answers with your spouse, your fiance.
Yeah.
And it was things like children and money and in-laws and which country do you want to live in? And it was really eye-opening to discuss these when, your eyes are just you're living behind rose-tinted glasses, because it really exposed some interesting sort of cracks.
Of course. And you're living with someone for the rest of your life.
Yep.
This has to be your best mate. It has to be your husband. It has to be your wife. It's got to be your confidant. It's got to be someone you can argue with and then come clear with.
That's right.
And love again, after the argument. So
when you think about it, it's pretty daunting for the youngsters out there, really, isn't it? They have to find someone, and then they're going to bet half their stuff that they're going to love them forever.
I bet you all my assets for the rest of my life. It is a daunting thing. And they teach you maths and science and biology at school. They don't teach you relationships and marriage and finances. So we learn this as we go. And sometimes it can be very harsh. And some of us sometimes don't learn so quickly, and we go through it a few times. absolutely. So those people, they're not scared of commitment, and that's okay.
Yep.
But be careful, because it can wipe you out financially big time as well.
The lawyers always win, huh?
They do, and that's the problem. They're there to help you, but the emotion makes them earn the more money, because now nobody wants to lose. So nobody wins a divorce. Because of the money, and you keep paying. I just keep saying to people, please don't make the lawyers wealthy, and they will tell you as well, but they are there to help you. But geez, the stuff costs money, and every letter, every minute is a ticks.
Absolutely, yeah. They bill by the minute, literally.
Your phone call, your email, reading an email,
$200,
$200 there, and it ticks on and on and on. And every time you get angry, you want to say, "Well, you haven't paid this and that. I'll send you an email," and then that's $200 grand, and then it comes back, "Well, you haven't done this, so that's $200 grand." And be careful, guys. Just step back, think about it. And once again, one of the big things here is don't listen really to other people's divorce advice, because your particular situation is different. It's different to everybody else's. You can listen to people that care about you and want to protect you, yes, but everybody's divorce has been different. So legal advice is your family lawyer, and they know what they're talking about. Okay. Mm. The emotional stuff could be your mom and dad or somebody that loves you or a best friend, but everybody's divorce is different, and everybody goes through different. And we all handle emotional things differently and at different levels. Some people can handle a lot of stress, and some of us can't handle any stress at all.
Mm-hmm.
And this divorce stuff is stress
off the charts.
In a bucket,
yeah.
I promise.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. There it is.
Thanks, Jeff.
You look exhausted.
I feel drained.
I'm drained as well. But a good marriage is always good, and I don't want to talk about negative stuff always, but people need to know. And what the hell, Vietnam about ons Vietnam.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, that was really illuminating.
We'll chat to enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks, everybody, and I'll see you on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Awesome. So you're doing the drive show on Friday?
Yeah, I'll be out Friday.